Who are you, by the way? What are your names and what band are you with again?
Yeah, okay. My name's Jez, and I'm in a band called Doves.
Okay, I've got the right band so far. Let's go for couple number two.
Okay, I'm Andy, and I too play drums for the Doves.
We've scored. Now, tell me what you don't want me to ask you.
Oh, have you got any?
You know any that really annoy you? That, like, I mean, I'll come up with some good NME questions. Don't worry.
Yeah, you don't have to be NME questions by any stretch.
I've read your quote. Let's get to the real questions. There was a quote recently in one of the newspapers about Manchester and why you think great bands, you know, come out of there. But here's a bigger thought. Why do you think industrial cities in general breed such soulful music? Because, you know, industrial cities, and we're talking any industrial city, you know, Detroit, you know, there's so many places where great soulful music comes from. And Manchester is certainly one of the most legendary, and they try to plant something on you as a result of that. But let's talk about in general.
Yeah.
A little more broad.
I suppose the most obvious reason would be if you live in an industrial city, you know, and especially say like the something like if you put that next to the weather in Manchester, which tends to rain a lot, you know, well, you're not living the outdoor life really. You're at home or you're with your mates, so you've got time really to, you know, practice your instrument, and you know, football and music in Manchester has always been a real
you football's a little big. How about those Liverpool? Never mind.
That was good. Yeah. Good at Liverpool, but I suppose there. And also, when you've got like, I suppose like Manchester or Detroit, you've got history there of bands of, you know, Detroit great, you know, the Motown, you know, Stooges and all that. So people are growing up, you know, like Manchester. There's that heritage. They're already with bands, so it's such a part of culture there, you know, going to see your favourite bands. It's just, you can't help but get drunk.
It gets absorbed into your blood.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't know exactly, industrial, you know, I don't know if anything, you know, people say about the Motown and the Motor City and, you know, the car industry, but I don't really know if that has any kind of connection.
In 2002, you were asked whether you thought the reception to the Doves in the States has been good, and the answer back then was that you don't think that the States have taken to you yet, and it's not going to be an overnight thing, and it's going to be a lot of hard work.
Yeah.
Now, of course, now there is this new British invasion in the States. I mean, it's huge. You know, whether it be, you know, the Ferdinands or the Kaiser Chiefs, or, you know, you can just go on and on and on, but there's a new British invasion. Do you think that everybody is finally caught up, you know, by the new album? What do you think?
It's quite a tricky question to answer, because we've always, even back in England, stayed out of the kind of, if you like, the NME kind of fashion kind of cycle that goes on in England, which is sort of turns around every 2 years. And we've even when Britpop came out, which I know Britpop means something different in England to you over here, but Britpop for us was like, wasn't it? It was like the kind of, when Blur were kind of chirpy, and you know, Oasis, obviously were doing two fantastic albums. We didn't want to sound like that, so we had a reaction. We wanted to sound different to that, and so we've never really been part of that whole thing. So now this British invasion is sort of blowing up in America. I'm not sure we're a part of that, to be honest.
I don't really. I was just kind of, but you know, it's funny because I guess it'll help in a strange way.
Yeah, I'm sure it will, you know, and that's great, you know. But we're just putting the gigs in at the moment. I mean, this is our sixth tour of America, and we've got a real cult following over here, which is great, you know. I mean, the tour sold out, so that's really good, you know. We're just keeping on gigging, really. I think that's for us as a band, it's word of mouth with us. I don't think it's necessarily anything to do with the media or radio, apart from your good selves, that is, that are playing us. You know, we're not getting too much radio airplay, so we're just doing it through gigs.
The new album, what it said to me, just because I purposely didn't read that much about it, but I just got it and I listened to it. And, you know, I mean, historical buildings in our great cities are being razed and modern things are coming up. And the cities are literally, I equated it to literally they're losing their soul. And yet you made a very soulful album. And it could be Manchester or Liverpool or Portland or Seattle or Moscow, right?
Yeah,
I mean, there's no one city that's described on the album per se. I mean, it is about you coming back to Manchester every time off tour and realizing that things have changed, and you notice that when you're away.
I mean, we don't want to be taken for people who are just traditionalists. I mean, we love modern architecture and we love brave buildings, but a lot of what was happening when we were coming back from Manchester was really bland housing schemes getting put up, you know, where people have to live in this rubbish, you know, and, you know, great old, you know, historic warehouses which, you know, generations of families have worked, and we're just getting pulled down overnight, and it's just something we noted. But that's happening in Manchester, and it's happening all over the world, you know. So it's just something we felt quite strongly about. Well, Manchester's changed a lot now. I mean, it's not that smoky industrial place anymore. It's quite cosmopolitan, getting quite fairly affluent, although there's, you've got the side which is not affluent. It's got a real underclass still. But if you go to the city centre, you wouldn't, 20 years ago, and you went now, it's two different places. The people are the same, but...
The video, which I watched today for Black and White Town, the drama in every one of those shots of those kids, and the build-up, and the whole idea that they're just kind of in the suburbs there, and, you know, I mean, it's kind of hard to stay in school and, you know, go to college and get a job, you know. So were you guys those kids to a certain extent?
Only so far that we were bored of the town we were from and wanted to escape and move on and start our lives. Yeah, I mean
that was it was very intense for me to watch, especially with a 4-year-old daughter, to just kind of think, you know, these kids don't always have that opportunity, you know.
Yeah, that's it. Not everyone. It's not a level playing field, isn't it? Some people get really good opportunities and some don't, you know. Some things are stacked against them. But we've been very lucky. We're here making a living out of what we love doing, you know. Other people aren't, so I don't know, you know. But we were the bored teenagers, definitely wanting to escape our small town, really.
So on the inner sleeve, you've told an entire story with the song titles. Is there a story that I should be following there? That was pretty cool. Whose idea was that? That was pretty neat.
Sorry, the...
On the inner sleeve, you literally have the titles, but then you have little things in between there.
Snippets of the lyrics.
Yes, yeah, that's pretty cool, but it all kind of ties together.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it is, you know, Ricky does our sleeves, you know, he's really, you know, an inventive designer. We didn't have enough room for all the lyrics and all the songs, so... We put asking what, you know, what are our key lines in each song, you know, that we want to
the album.
Yeah,
just key elements that would kind of sum up the whole song in like maybe a sentence.
No, it's very cool. I think my favorite is let's see, where was it? Dust is abrasive and wiping it can cause scratches. Just feather dust the piano first.
Oh hey, yeah, I know.
What's
what
that?
I love that. I love that.
Yeah, that wasn't necessarily part of the songs.
No, but it fell in there.
Yeah, yeah. It was someone's interpretation. Gemma's interpretation of she listened to the album and then she kind of broke everything down into little snippets and then formed a complete kind of story, if you like, that reflected the album. It's Gemma.
Gemma stuff. Yeah, right. Right.
Yeah, and then there is also, my second is kind of a very include of the sound of the record, where it says delay, at the end of the story it says delay, echo, and reverb.
Yeah, we like all those.
I know. Can I add beautiful distortion and harmonies?
That's very nice. Yeah, could I add that to it? Yeah, we're down with that.
So Someday Soon starts out like a song I expect to hear in church, and then becomes something I expect from the Jefferson Airplane, and we're here in San Francisco.
I don't know Jefferson Airplane's music too much, really.
Oh, we're going to have to introduce you and send you some. See, you've done...
That song was particular. Someday Soon, did you
yes.
say? That was a kind of... We were going after the Mamas and Papas, weren't we?
And that could work too. That folk kind of...
Yeah, kind of sun-drenched kind of...
That's very California too.
Yeah. It was definitely... It was our sort of...
All the zombies.
Zombies.
Yeah.
So the sound came from three different studios, right? Liverpool, Brixton, and Loch Ness, all with the same producer. Mm-hmm. So was there a difference? Can I really recognize the sound from the three places in the mix of all of this? Or was it more about atmosphere and tone and all of that?
It was more about us looking out the window and seeing countryside. Or maybe, you know, I think the whole thing about we were stuck in this city trying to start, well, we were starting the album, there was a lot of distractions, so we decided to go up to Scotland and we found this disused school. there's this guy that has this job. What he does, he goes around England searching for strange places or interesting places to.
I like this job.
Yeah. And he emailed us these photos, and we went, let's go there. And that was in Inverness, at the bottom of Loch Ness, in this kind of disused school. So we just moved all the equipment into there. Yeah, it was great.
I mean, part of the reason really was we'd been in Liverpool Park Street Studios for 6 weeks. I mean, it was just starting. Studio atmospheres can be very sterile sometimes and not conducive to. If you're obviously working in a radio station, you know that.
Yeah.
So I don't know, it was a suggestion of Ben Hilliers, our producer, just saying, you know, let's just try something really different. Try get outside the studio atmosphere, and it actually worked technically better than the professional studio we were in the end. They did such a great job of setting it up, you know.
Yeah.
It's sort of the spirit and the vibe was caught, definitely.
Yeah, and then you get it right to finish it up. Mm. So your last Glastonbury, I think, Glastonbury, that little festival, was you, Moby was kind of your opposite, where you're not. But now you're on Before the Killers and that band, the White Stripes.
Mm. But the White Stripes, they've had this is about their fifth album, isn't it? But no, it's going to be great. I mean, we've played, this is our seventh appearance, I think, at Glastonbury, is it?
Sixth.
We love that festival, it's our favourite, so...
I've got to get there one of these days.
Well, you should. If you're a fan of music, you've got to go to Glastonbury. Yeah.
For us Yanks who don't really understand, can you define Northern Soul? Because it's not Motown, it's not Philly Soul. Now, I have a Northern Soul compilation from England that's got The In Crowd by Dobie Gray on it. Mm-hmm. So can you kind of define Northern Soul for me?
Northern Soul is the whole culture, really. It's the music, the clothes, the drugs, the whole, you know, the whole thing really is what's defined as Northern Soul. But mainly the music is American black.
But it's stuff that never, most of it, except for like The In Crowd, because I know that I've got that compilation and I hadn't heard 98% of it, and yet it was made here. But it's very obscure and it's been turned into something special there.
Yeah. I mean, this is what amazing is that most of these songs totally died in America and died everywhere. But in the clubs in the 70s in Northern England, these people became massive stars. And, you know, there's lots of quite unusual stories about these people who made these records, made one or two records, and they were massive in the north of England and became, you know, real stars.
But saved their careers, literally.
No, some people actually passed away without ever knowing.
It's just a strange, weird kind of thing to suddenly not be recognised all your life, and then some tiny place in the world that there's a whole scene going on and you're respected as an artist. So.
Yeah, that happens in North Carolina with beach music. It's the same sort of thing. Actually, is that North or South Carolina, the beach music?
Carolina.
Yeah, it's the Carolinas. Yeah, it's pretty wild stuff. So speaking of soul, it hit me today. I'm listening to Black and White Town, and I know a segue. So the next time you want to do it, Heatwave by Martha and the Vandellas.
That groove,
has that been said? I'm sure I'm not the first person, but I just thought about it. I'm going to try that mix.
It was not intentional, but it's...
No, but it's spectacular. But it does say that you are very soul, you know, because people try to, you know, you're a rock band, but you're also a lot of soul. A lot of that's gotten into your blood, naturally.
We love a lot of black music, a lot of soul. We love, you know, it's... what we've grown up listening to, you know, as well as rock and as well as, you know, we try and keep our ears open to anything which is good, hopefully.
So the last thing that we like to do, which is really kind of joyful and fun, and now that I found out that you've DJed recently, I know you're going to have a lot more fun with it. What we do with the last part of the hour that we dedicate to the band is we do a musical sandwich. And basically we pick two of your songs as the bread, and then I want you to give me a bunch of tunes for in between, and whatever you ask me to play, no matter what it is, I'm going to play it exactly in the order and as you ask for it. Okay, the iPods are out. Okay, but you don't need the iPod for your two songs.
No. I'll go for Someday Soon.
Someday Soon.
Black and White Town.
There you go. That'll be slamming. That'll slam.
Okay.
So now. Kick it off to us.
Right, okay.
Well, so we're going to.
Okay, so that's okay.
The beginning and end, don't we now? So
we got the beginning and the end. So now just a pile in the middle, and don't worry, I'll edit this. Okay. Take your time, because I'll edit this so it all sounds like you actually were doing this.
Right.
You know.
Well, I become. I'll put in there the Eels, or Eels, and Bus Stop Boxer.
Okay, Bus Stop Boxer by the Eels. If anybody only knew what was going on during this interview, I'm telling you. Okay.
I'll go for R. Dean Taylor as A Ghost in My House.
You know what label he was on? He was on the same label as Rare Earth. You remember Get Ready by Red Earth?
Rare Earth,
yep.
Soul band.
Yeah, they did a version of The Temptations' Get Ready and I Just Want to Celebrate. And he was the only other one. He was the only other one on that label.
Graham Coxon, Freaking Out.
Love Graham Coxon. I love that album. That album's great.
I'll go for West Street Dance, Breakdance Electric Boogie.
West Street Dance Mob, okay.
I'll have to go for Joy Division and Transmission.
Transmission, Joy Division, okay, that's easy.
I'll go for Velvet Underground, Beginning to See the Light.
Nice.
Tim Buckley, Song to the Siren.
I'd have to say Nancy Sinatra and Bang Bang.
Was it Lee Hazlewood not right?
Lee Hazlewood wrote it, but Terry Reid also, this guy Terry Reid also did it, and he was a maniac, so yeah.
I'll go for Mazzy Star, Fade Into You.
Very nice. Okay, one more each. Here we go. The pressure's on.
It is on. I'm going to go for Neil Young, Like a Hurricane.
Neil Young's the Don, isn't he?
Yeah, I guess so. Last one?
Last one. Sam Cooke. Sam Cooke, A Change Is Gonna Come.
Yeah, that closed. I forgot, it was a Spike Lee movie that was pretty recent. I forgot what movie. And it was really, it was like the closing credits of, I think, one of the Spike Lee movies. And it was one of the most recent ones. And you just melted. You just absolutely melted. Thank you so much.
I enjoyed that.